oh my God, you know, you're at this point of your age and you're still single. What's wrong with you? Trust me, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm the most comfortable I've ever been in myself than ever before. I've learned so much more that actually it's more precious to me right now to have my own space with my family, with my people, with my circle, being focused on what I'm doing. Every single relationship you've been in, whether or not it's been serious, whether or not it's been short term, whether or not it's been in passing, even that one glimpse that you saw at the coffee shop one day and you thought, oh wow.
I call those 2 second relationships.
Those 2 seconds.
I just did that one. I love that one. Yeah.
Even if a woman says to me, you're not my type, it doesn't mean that the battle between whether or not we're going to get any further or in this situation is dead or not. To me, it means that we're only fighting an uphill battle, my girl.
I've got good quads, baby.
Dating in your 20s. Some of you may be single right now. Some of you may be in relationships, thriving, happy. And some of you may be just trying to figure out the personal circumstances of where you are at and where you want to go, your future, self-development, self-care. Today, we are going to be talking about navigating the dating world, relationships, being single in your 20s. And I'm joined by my brother, Sydney Suarez. Teddy Suarez here right now. What's your thoughts right now on this topic? I know we spoke about you almost hitting 30. You're not 30 yet.
You like to remind me. I don't understand why you like to do that. But it's okay. I'm all right with
it. But you're not 30 yet. Yeah,
and when I'm 30, I'm going to be happy. So it's cool. But what are my thoughts on dating in your 20s?
Let me rephrase it.
Right.
What is the relationship world of Sydney been like in your 20s?
How much am I allowed to reveal on here without...
As much as you want to give your people the information of Sydney.
Well, do you know what? I won't give away too much, but it's been a roller coaster. It's been a good one. I've enjoyed the peaks and troughs of it, you know, and I'd say the peaks of this being in, you know, really good relationships, you know, where you're happy and I feel fulfilled and I feel like life is good. Getting what I want from a relationship.
She's made you who you are today as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Every single relationship you've been in, whether or not it's been serious, whether or not it's been short term, whether or not it's been in passing, even that one glimpse that you saw at the coffee shop one day and you thought, oh, wow.
I call those 2 second relationships.
Those 2 seconds. I just did that one. I love that one. Yeah.
Those 2 second relationships in the coffee shop. What could have been? But yeah, even those moments, they do make you who you are today. Do you know why? I've had many of those moments and I've always often questioned myself, well, why didn't I approach her? Why didn't I? You think of so many different ways you could have approached that 2 second relationship.
Why is it you don't approach them when you think you should have?
I'll be honest. I think it's mainly fear. It's pride. It's in terms of combining the two together, it's fear of rejection, really. It's seeing that beautiful girl and I make up an excuse thinking, she must have a boyfriend. She's definitely got a boyfriend. There's no point in me disturbing her day. My coffee's here anyway. Let me dip. Do you know what I mean? Like it's never really a valid reason because you could always just ask. It doesn't hurt to ask. Being respectful about your approach, but for some reason, I've always, unless it's an absolute situation where I've convinced myself I can't walk away from this situation. I have to I need to come correct now.
So, what are those conditions?
Yeah. hey, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
What's making you feel good?
In my situation, maybe I've had a trim, I've gone to the gym, I've had a good night's sleep. Mm. All those things that just culminate in waking up and feeling like, on 99% of my life, I've always tried to keep my life positive. Mm-hmm. I've always tried to be happy anyway. Mm-hmm. But there's just that extra percentage of feeling good. Mm-hmm. That's different from yesterday.
Right.
So on that day, if that 2 second relationship is there, she's in trouble. She's in trouble, my bro. She's in danger.
That 2 seconds would be expanded to 10 minutes.
Yeah, we'll make something.
Right, okay.
So I don't know what for you. Mm. You've had, you know,
two second relationships,
mm-hmm. everything in between, mm-hmm. whatever that looks like. And in going back to what you were saying, so you've kind of felt like you've learned through those moments and they've made you who you are today. So moving on from that, how do you feel like in the present day, you being single, and there's a lot of people out there that are in relationships, but there's also a lot of people out there that are also single. How do you feel like they navigate that with the pressures of everything that comes with being alive in 2024 right now? There's so much going on right now in the world.
I think that dating in this modern world is challenging in comparison to what it was back in the day, because we've just got access to so many fish in the sea right now. You know, you've got these dating apps at your fingertips, you know, the likes of Bumble, The Hinges.
Mm. Are you on a dating app?
Am I on a dating app? No mm-hmm. comment.
Why?
I've been on there, you know, whether I'm on there, you know.
Yeah, but you might want people to find you.
No, I don't know. I don't want people to know. You got to keep the mysteriousness going.
Is it?
Yeah. They don't need to know how to find me.
I'm not on the
If you want to find me, you come on to Teddy Talks.
Yay. You heard it here first, people. Slide in, send a comment. But preferably with something with substance, you know.
Basically, you're saying don't slide in the comments to chat Sydney.
Nah, maybe go back to episode 1 and reference something. That might work.
No, but on a serious note, I think that we do have access to so much now. So
100%, let's call it virtual, not just the dating app, but we've got the digital age of dating,
right?
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Not the notebook vibe where we're sending letters waiting for a response 2-3 days later. Mm. You're excited that the horse has turned up on your porch.
It's not Romeo and Juliet where it really it's like isn't. Romeo, where art thou? Mm. But, you know, it's like
right now and today, you've got like, I've just sent a message, it's double ticked. She should have seen it. Why hasn't she replied within 30 minutes to an hour?
Back in the day, you would have gone to her house. You say, Juliet, come to the balcony. Mm. I've got something to say to you.
Which might have taken you 2-3 days to ride there.
Yeah.
And she
would have really appreciated it.
Romeo, or, wow.
But if she's one of the top Juliets of the world, she's got a lot of Romeos.
Doing the same thing. But either way, they have to put their own gestures together. Yeah. Either it's a nice shiny armor, or one's on top of a horse, one's got a chariot, one's got 50 million cows, everything in between. But now it seems as though there's a lot more options. Mm. As you said, there's plenty of fish in the sea, in the sense that you can, you know. This is why I'm actually not on dating apps, because it almost feels too easy to swipe left or right, whereas I'm more of a hopeless romantic, in the sense that I like to walk into a bar, restaurant, and be surprised by someone's beauty or someone's conversation or someone's that you never quite expected to meet within that moment, you consciously jump on either Tinder, Raya, Hinge, Bumble, any of these dating apps, and you consciously make a decision to swipe left or right, and you're consciously trying to find someone that looks close to that perfect image in your head. And sometimes, actually, fairness where fairness is due, because I was having this conversation with a friend of mine, a distant friend of mine, about his dating habits. And he shifted from, oh, I'm jumping on the dating app to find someone and swiping left or right on someone that looks beautiful. I'm going to try and look at their bio, and I'm going to actually try and get information from this person, see whether or not they marry up with my values, and swipe left or right, which I thought was interesting. And he also said that if he swipes left, it's because either she hasn't got any information in her bio, or she maybe has one or two pictures that doesn't show much about her character, i.e. she goes on holiday, spends time with family, spends time with friends, and you can kind of see what her environment is like. This information that you can pull from there. If there isn't, essentially, his idea is that if there isn't much information that he can pull from this person without speaking to her, he's going to swipe left. Likewise, with his opening message, if he messages her and he gets a closed off response, he's not going to swipe left straight away. He's going to try and open her up. And if she's being bougie or she's being too stush, she's being closed off, he's going to swipe left. Because he wants someone that's into him just as much as he's into her. Those are some of his categories. Those are some of his criteria beyond the aesthetic. So he's trying to shut his eyes from the aesthetic.
And I think it's definitely important to have your own values when it comes to, you know, choosing your partner. Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most important steps, is understanding who you are. What do you
actually like?
What do you like?
Yeah.
And then once you understand what do you like,
as in beyond the beauty you're talking about.
Beyond the beauty. Then you can start fishing in the sea and discovering, okay, how many frogs do I need to kiss until I found my princess, because I'm in my niche. I wouldn't agree with your friend. You know, I wouldn't look at bios, because I don't think everyone puts the same amount of effort into bios. And depending on what app he's on, that could also determine on whether people spend as much time on bios or not. Whether or not they put a much effort into bios or not. And people have different perceptions of dating apps as well. So if, for example, you know, Holly from down the road, you know, she may have downloaded Tinder because, you know, she recently broke up with someone and she's just looking for her next
rebound. Yes.
That's right. And, you know, that maybe she's not going to put an effort into a bio, but maybe it's possible that Holly could be a match for you, but it's just wrong time.
Yeah, I was just about to say, that's not a relationship. Right person, that's just sex, my bro. No,
but I mean,
I'm talking, my friend's perspective wasn't looking for sex. He's looking for a wife. So yeah, Holly's lack of bio means that she's not on it.
Stay with me. What if Holly...
To him, anyway.
What if Holly is the right person for him? Right person, wrong time, right?
Yeah.
But he swiped left because Holly didn't have a bio.
Okay, but so let's take that reality and pull it from the virtual reality. Mm-hmm. So the dating world, the digital side of things, right?
Yeah.
So if Holly's on a rebound, regardless of whether or not she's on a dating app or not, she's not going to be the one for our mysterious friend, right? Regardless of whether or not she's on a dating app or not.
Because she's looking
the
for a rebound.
The bottom line is she's looking to have a good time because she's sad.
Yeah, maybe our friend's the right person to have the rebound with, because having a rebound with Holly will actually lead to a relationship and then marriage. Maybe.
You'd hope so.
Maybe Holly's looking for a rebound, but that's not what she gets. She gets an ex-husband.
But because he swiped left, because she hasn't given much detail about herself.
He's missed the opportunity to.
So this is one thing that I this is another thing within the digital age of dating I do worry about, is the security. It's the idea that one of the reasons why I can imagine people don't even want to put that much information in the bio anyway is because they're worried about putting too much information out there. Which I completely respect. So I actually agree with you as well. And I do agree that our friend's approach, because he's actually our friend, he's just had the conversation with me. but I do agree, give some time, open her up, don't be lazy. Regardless of whether or not you're on an app or not, because the rules still apply to me anyway. Although I'm not on a dating app, I would like to think that even if a woman says to me, you're not my type, it doesn't mean that the battle between whether or not we're going to get any further or in this situation is dead or not. Mm. To me, it means that we're only fighting an uphill battle, my girl.
I've got good quads, baby.
And the calves are strong too. 100%.
Oh,
I'm ready. I'm ready.
I like that.
I got good quads, baby. Oh, sugar. Gosh. But yeah, like so, regardless of whether or not there's lack of information or not, it just means that for whatever reason, either she has a wall up, you know, she's been scarred in the past, like you said, she's just come out of a breakup, doesn't really, she's not that bothered, or maybe her friends put her up to it. Like, there's so many reasons as to why an individual decides to jump onto a dating app anyway, like each to their own, of course. So I do think that...
Have you ever been on a dating app?
Oh yeah, 100 million percent.
Yeah.
Definitely, and it works to a certain extent.
Was this recent or was this a long time ago?
No, I haven't been on a dating app for maybe around 3 years. I haven't been on a dating app for
3 years.
Yeah. I'm judging that off Love Island. Because when I was on Love Island, maybe a year before that or 2 years. No, a year and a half, roughly. Roughly, I wasn't on a dating app.
Did you enjoy it?
Not being on a dating app.
Not being on it.
Yeah. The thing for me personally, you value that moment of meeting someone or seeing someone. It's like, oh, I'm gonna see what this person's about. And I found myself doing some ridiculous things, like positioning myself so that I can make sure that there's no way we can't not have this conversation. More so for me than anything. So I'm like, I can't walk away from this now. We're in this awkward situation. We have to talk now. But you know, so I definitely feel like
Did you have any relationships off the back of, you know, experimenting on dating apps?
Did I have any? No. But none of my relationships are born from a dating app, actually. None of my relationships from dating apps whether or not they've become just platonic or however you look at it, have never transpired into a long-term relationship.
Mm. Is that because you prefer meeting people in other ways? Is that because
I'm but this is the thing. I met the people on the dating apps. Mm. I was about to say I met a lot of them. No, but I met the ones that I was interested in, put it that way. Mm. But none of my relationships. I've had three relationships. Obviously, my ex. The ex before that, I met after a night out. We met. My relationship before that was, we met in college on a bus, funny enough. Obviously, we saw each other in and around the college, but, you know, that was my first love, really. Mm. And that was completely organic.
So you
what about you?
If you see your next one, she's probably going to appear somewhere in the world, not on a dating app. You're probably going to meet her organically.
Oh, definitely. Because I don't rule out going on a dating app. Mm. I'm never going to rule that out. You never know. But I think so. I think so. I think the person that I'm actually...
I mean, you've been on a dating game, so you can't rule out a dating app.
What do you mean I've been on like a dating game?
I do that one personally. Yeah, you do. A dating show.
Yes.
Anyway, moving on, I wanted to ask you about your thoughts on how gender has played a big role in how relationships are formed these days, you know, from a perspective of, you know, women are now earning a lot more than what they used to back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got women, which is fantastic. Women are getting paid a lot more,
mm-hmm.
which means they can provide themselves with the security that they used to seek from the man, the provider. Or, you know, you fill in the blank. You know, obviously a woman's not always a relationship with a man. It could be a woman and a woman. But there's always this dynamic of there's someone that is the provider and there's someone that is the carer.
I'm going to hit you with a fact around that as well, because I'm glad you jumped onto this. So I was as you do, researching about this topic. Around the gender equality side of things, I found an interesting topic that came from the ONS, which is the UK Office for National Statistics. The employment rate for women aged between 16 and 64 reached 72% in 2022, and one of the highest rates on record. So obviously that has
that's a good thing. Do you think that's a good thing?
I mean, definitely. Mm. Definitely. It's increased from, I imagine this stat has come out because it's increased from the previous years, but also there's an additional note on this as well that says delayed marriage. This is a reason why women choose to delay their marriage. So going on from that research, just to continue, the research from the ONS indicates that the average age at first marriage for women has increased. So in 2022, the average age for women was 35 years, 35.7 to be exact. So 35 years and 7 months for some reason, and up. That's up from 1990, where the average age was 30 years. That's a 5 year gap. And we're going to round that up 6.
Which kind of makes sense, right? Because you see more and more women have babies later these days.
That was a statistic that we had on one of our other shows, I think. One of our other episodes. We had a statistic around the women were giving birth at a later age.
There's nothing wrong with that. It allows, you know, from a woman's point of view, if they're highly driven and they want to pursue their careers and end up high in the food chain, or let's call it the rat race, you know, you don't want to be taking time out of work. You want to be putting your blood, sweat and tears into what you're doing and delay the, you know, the settling down into maybe later on in your life.
Yeah, because it's a conversation. Mm. Like if I was in a relationship right now, ultimately, you're not just bringing new life into this world, which is a blessing in itself from my point of view. The thing that you look at before making that decision is the 9 months pregnancy period. In 9 months, is it 9 months you're off of work? I don't know what the actual maternity period is, but you're off work for a considerable amount of time, which means you're no longer, depending on what workspace you're in, you're no longer speaking to your colleagues at work. You're no longer connected. And in a fast moving world where technology changes like that, 9 months to a year, technology has shifted and a lot of patterns within a workspace has changed. A lot of things has changed within just that short of a space of time. So it's quite a large chunk that you'd have to consider. The caveat to that for me is obviously we're bringing new life, and obviously I'm bringing in new life with a partner that I see the rest of my life with. So that for me is obviously second to none. And I want to stress, at this point in my life, I thought I would be in a relationship. But life be lifing sometimes. So I think in regards to what you were saying, like there's so much in terms of the gender equality side of things, and that fact that we just pulled out, women are 100% prioritizing their career,
sometimes education. You thought you'd be married now? Was that because?
I love the way that you clung onto that, but yeah, go
was,
on.
What was it? What's going on there? I had to find out. I was interested. Was that because of? It was in your plan to be married at a certain age, or because of another reason? Why did you think you were going to be married now?
I thought that I would probably be in a relationship at this point and be married at this point on the basis that everything around me was also at a certain point as well. So I'm talking my career. I've had career changes, huge career change within the last 2-3 years from working for a company within the finance industry for 5 years to then going into reality TV and being a public figure. That's a huge shift and a huge change. You know, I would have loved to have gone through that change with a partner and seen myself at the other side, but obviously that didn't work out. Again, life happens. So I don't regret that. But if I was to talk to my 16, 17, 18-year-old self, I'm 99% sure we sat there with the thought that we would be in a romantic situation now with either a plan within the next 6 to 12 months of thinking, by 29, my bro, we're thinking about wedding plans. But that's just a young man's naive thought process. You know,
I don't think it's just a young man's naive thought process, because there'll be a a lot of people out there from the older generation, we may think in a similar thought pattern to you, you know, some of the old school gentlemen of the world, you know, who think that chivalry is not dead and they think, you know, you need to have your life in a certain order and, you know, you shouldn't be on the dating apps because the dating apps, you know, you'll get flakiness. You know, you don't know what it's like to put an effort of writing a letter and getting a response from the one that you love. You know, you don't understand what it's like to walk 2-3 hours and not be sure about whether she even wants to go out with you tonight or whether she's even remembered that she was going to go out with you tonight. You know, there is... What you're saying is I understand where you're coming from, but I think there is...
But the naivety I'm talking about comes from the fact that our parents got together young. So that's all you know. That's where my naivety came from. It comes from the fact that our parents got together quite young, had kids young, happy at a young age. The biggest devastation we had was the fact that our dad passed away again, I would consider a young age as well, right? Whilst mommy and daddy are happily married. So
there's a perception. I think parents are very good at giving you a perception of
being happily married. Yeah, but that's the naivety I'm talking about. It's the, it's not all sunshine and roses. It's actually, you know, having conversations with mommy, it's understanding that there is more life to live. So I think I'd probably say over the last 3-4, maybe I got a push. Within the last 5 years, mommy's traveled the world, parts of the world, a lot more than she did when maybe daddy was alive. That reality to me would never have been something I would have thought about when I was younger. The norm and the consistency would have been, let's go to Portugal, let's go to Nigeria, let's go to our home native places, not see the rest of the world. Right? So I think that is a nice segue onto the fact that living single life has also got its benefits as well. It's not all the stereotypical doom and gloom of, oh my God, I'm single now and I'm hitting, personally, again, personal experience, people, my late 20s and I'm going into my late 20s without a relationship and it's all doom and gloom because when I was younger, I thought I was going to be married. I thought I was going to have a girlfriend. I thought we were going to be planning around a family. I thought we'd have a house together. I thought we'd have all these fairy tale things that you think of in regards to a relationship. But ultimately, there are a lot of things within the single life that I think in your 20s, that things happen. And I think you can probably think of some of the things, but one of the things that strike out to me is the priority of your career, which is what we were talking about with regards to women. Women have, you know, some women, not all women, but some women do prioritize their career, you know, as much as men do as well. We prioritize, right now, we are prioritizing our career. We're trying to be the breadwinner either for the family or just for ourselves.
And obviously, for good reason, women would prioritize their career because they've got this biological clock. You know, I've got to have babies by X date because, you know, unlike men, we're not able to be pumping seeds for the rest of our lives. You know, whether a man is still able to get a hard on at a certain age, that's a different question. Or his balls will still be producing. Right? But I think one thing that we haven't touched on, which I think is also quite interesting, is that with dating in the modern world, is that you get to see what your partner's up to when you're not with her. And you didn't get to see that back in the day. And I think this...
What do you mean? Through what?
Through Snapchat, through Instagram story, through your friends messaging you. Hey, so-and-so is doing this with your... You should probably give her a call.
Or the meet and greet viral moment that happened with Chris Brown, the guy that was about to marry a girl.
Great segue. What was going on there? What is this meet and greet?
I don't know. I'm not Chris Brown's boy.
So, all right, for people who are unaware,
this is at a meet and greet, right?
Chris Brown.
So Chris Brown's just done a meet and greet with fans and a woman. To be honest, I don't know the visual side of it, but a woman's obviously jumped up on Chris Brown. Got her legs wrapped around Chris Brown. And this clip goes viral. Little do we know this woman is due to be engaged. And because it's gone so viral, the husband...
Due to be engaged or was she engaged?
She was engaged. Due to be married.
Right.
She's due to be married. So she's engaged and she's due to be married.
So the problem wasn't wrapping her legs around him.
Well, you don't think that was a problem?
No, I'm saying the problem was being engaged.
The problem was not being engaged.
Yeah.
Let me correct what Sydney just said.
Yeah.
The problem was not being engaged. The problem was that she was caught in the act of this new world of social media, which is not so new. And her husband caught wind of this due to the viral nature of the clip where Chris Brown is literally... Let me give you an example. He's got the girl's legs wrapped around him and he's looking back at the camera like this.
Oh. Wow. Right?
So the girl was round here and he's looking at the camera like this.
Why is he looking at the camera like that?
The camera as well.
And she's looking as well.
So they're both looking at the camera.
So when he sees this picture, it's like...
So it looks bizarre, to say the least, for someone that's getting married.
Where was Chris Brown's... How was he holding her?
I have to look at his picture again, to be honest.
Oh. Because that has a big part to play in this, right? Because if he's just holding her...
No, he's not holding her like this. He's holding her down here.
Oh, so he's got his hands on the goods.
He's firmly securing the goods in order to...
Right.
Lift her up and make sure that she doesn't drop.
He's a bad boy.
No. I can't say Chris Brown's a bad boy.
No, he's not. He's not.
No.
And he doesn't know that. He doesn't know. Well, maybe she didn't even say I'm married. She just greeted him and jumped on him and he...
What's she going to do? Jump on him and say, nice to meet you, Chris Brown. I'm married?
I don't know. This one's for the judge.
To be honest, I don't... This is, you said Chris Brown was a bad boy, and I want to clarify that in that situation, I really don't believe that people in the public eye in those moments should be vilified, unless it's a minor. If it's a minor, like, what's going on here? But in this situation, it's a grown woman, obviously, because you've got... You've picked her up. You've got her in your arms, and you're not going to pick up a minor in that situation. I hope not. Anyway, but you've got a grown woman in your arms. You picked her up, right? He's not to assume that this person's married or this, especially because he's going off. I'm assuming anyway. Yeah. I'm not in Chris Brown's head.
But we don't know what is the correct way of picking someone up. You know, he's chosen to secure her from the goods. I don't know whether the correct way...
No, he's not touched. So when I say the goods, he's not touching her ass in that photo.
Right.
Let's okay. be clear. He's got his arms underneath her thighs and it's like he secured her from there, right?
Right.
But regardless, her legs are wrapped around him. I don't want my missus's legs wrapped around any human being. I don't subscribe to that, and I don't personally, I'm just putting this out on record right now for anyone that's confused and wants to be with me. I don't want that myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And this guy didn't. And this is the moral of the story, because right. we didn't get to the end of the story. Mm. And the guy didn't, because the result of the situation is that he no longer wants to be with a woman. He's put a statement out online because the clip got so viral. And he's called the quits on marrying this woman, which obviously as a man takes a lot to do. You're bending the knee, you're making a decision, you're splitting your finances with someone. There's so much that goes into it. You've got your family unity. You've there's unity there. There's connection. There's a lot of trust that's being built. So in that moment, I would expect a lot more. I would never ever assume that the celebrity or the person of influence who has just met this individual is in the wrong.
It's hard to say and judge because there's so many different variables. What if she's been obsessed with Chris Brown since she was like 9 years old? And, you know,
this... Honey, Sid, I've been obsessed with Chris Brown since I was 10. It's fine.
No, as in no, but like subconsciously and consciously, she's idolized this person for X amount of years, 20 plus years. And then when she meets him.
Oh, so we've gone from 10 to 20, which makes it okay.
No, I'm trying to be her lawyer here. I'm not saying that.
Nah, they're engaged.
They're engaged. Yeah, I'm still trying to be her lawyer here. Like, I'm trying to say, look, if I'm trying to fight Holly's corner. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who she is. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we'll go with Holly. Let's call her Holly.
I'm trying to fight Holly's corner. I say, look, Holly's been obsessing with Chris Brown for 20 years. When she met him, she didn't even know what her body was doing. All of a sudden, she jumped up and her legs were around him.
So, okay, Holly, it's fine. Okay, Holly, let's just get married. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
And also,
if you do it again, Holly, if you do it again, it's okay. You were obsessed with him for 20 years. My bro, that's not correct.
What are the chances of her meeting Chris Brown, of Holly meeting Chris Brown ever again?
We do realize Chris Brown is just a human being that sings.
Yeah, but that's not how people view public figures.
But that's how Mr. Man viewed it, because he dumped her.
But Mr. Man's embarrassed and his ego's hurt.
So he should be. Look, I'm all for being secure in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm about to roll my sleeves out. I'm all for being secure in your relationship. And your girl can go out. And actually, the point of this was the fact that there's a contrast between technologies in different time zones, right? So 20 plus years ago, there wasn't as many viral moments where you'll see Michael Jackson lift up someone and, oh my God, this person was actually married, right? Now, there's a lot more provocative things going on for some reason. Music videos are more provocative. You know, moments with meet and greets are clearly more provocative because they're being leaked left, right, and center. Because Chris Brown's not the only one. There was another moment where I thought I saw another rap artist lifting people up. He was lifting about 5-6 different women. And based off the situation we had, fingers crossed, none of them are due to be engaged, be married.
I can't remember, was Omalay or another artist took a female... Not behind,
it was live. Took this woman from up on stage, and they're up on stage within a it's like an illuminated screen, but you can still see what's going on. And then I think Omalay did a similar thing on stage live without the illuminated screen on a different circumstance where he was really like doing a lot of provocative things to this woman. And the camera then pans onto the boyfriend there at the front of the gate on stage just watching shit going on. And Burna Boy makes a cheeky comment and says, oh my God, I haven't just done an Omalay in your chick, because one audience is looking at him not enjoying himself.
Oh really? So if your wife wants to go to, you know, a concert and see an artist that she's been watching since she was a little kid, and you know that she really loves to sing her songs, and you know she's got front row seats, do you let her go?
Yeah, 100% I would. I would, on the basis that I think she's going to respect herself.
That's a good one.
I think it's about, to be honest, actually, let me take that response back, because that was just me being cheeky.
No, but I think
it's more about respecting our relationship. Because let's be honest, right? Let's flip this script. If the roles are reversed, right? And let's say the roles are reversed. And what's her name? What's her name? The one that's done the tune with Gunna. She was on Kai's...
Tyler.
Let's say Tyler or Dua Lipa. One of the two. I'm at their concert.
Come on stage.
Does that. Come on stage. Yeah. She's all doing some whining situation on me and whatnot. But I'm the guy that's just... propose to someone and ask someone to be on stage. Propose to someone and asked. I was even rattled thinking about the prospect of Dua Lipa asking me to come on stage. I'm due to marry someone. I've engaged to someone, and I'm on stage just catching a wind off Dua Lipa or Tyler. I'm not gonna run.
No.
I know I'm well informed enough to know that my wife or my soon to be wife is not going to be happy about it. Or even girlfriend, forget about a soon to be, my girlfriend who I could have met of 6 months is not going to be happy about that.
So the choice, so what, in that moment when Julie or Tyler goes,
no, I'll be like, I can't do it. I'll do a little...
You're
unless she's gonna say I'll marry you, it's different.
But the thing is, it takes a lot of self-control. A lot of self-control.
No, you know? But in those moments you can just deal with the fact that you'll turn to your boy and be like, you know, Dua Lipa asked me to come on stage, and your boy's obviously gonna call out bullshit. And because you haven't got the moment of being on stage and being like, this is real, it is what it is. Like, look, it depends on how much you value that person that you're about to be with. But let's go back onto the main premise of the episode, because I think we've digressed massively. This is about the single life within our 20s, right?
Relationships, dating in your
20s. Dating in our 20s. And I think we touched on the, we definitely touched on the gender equality side of things, which I thought was really prevalent in the single life. There's also the career aspect of things as well. Like, men and women are very, very career driven in this day and age. And that's because of the crisis that's going on right now. People are obviously being made redundant right now. People are looking at promotions. They're looking at, how am I gonna get to the next level in what I'm doing right now? And
There's also having access to too much.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to spend too much on this person because I've got another date around the corner and there's no point me trying to figure out whether there's something more for me here because I've got 10 more lined up. So I kind of have a lot of eggs in different baskets here.
And the other thing we were talking about the other day behind closed doors, you and I, we were talking about the pressures that come from our parents, the pressures that come from, I want you to be a doctor, or I want you to be an engineer, or I want you to be a footballer, or I want you to be a singer, or whatever dreams our parents have for us. And we're very lucky and very blessed that our mum, you could have a conversation with our mum and our mum would listen. You know, when I approached my mum and said, you know I have the grades right now, but uni isn't for me. There was the empathy. There was the understanding that actually, this is what I want for you, but I appreciate that you don't want this. But some people don't have the advantage of having that. They don't have the empathy in their life where, all right, we've done our GCSEs, the next step is A-levels, and then the next step after that is uni, or go from whatever job you start from at 16 to 18 to then figuring out what the next thing is, right? I'm lucky that mommy was supportive of me in whatever direction I was going to go in. What do you think to that? What do you think to the idea that we have got the living crisis right now, which statistically is also affecting the blooming of relationships blossoming from year 1, 2, 3, and the unforeseen circumstance of either being made redundant or that individual saying, actually, look, I want to go to Dubai right now because the opportunity says to me that I need to go and fly away and work from Dubai and work with people within the Middle East. Or, you know, this is my mum's dream. This is my parents' dream. And I want to fulfill that right now. Come along the journey, and that woman or man or whatever circumstance you're in says, I can't do that right now. And you feel mentally that you're tied down to that moment and you can't shake that moment. What do you feel? What do you think? What advice do you have for people in those circumstances?
Stop overthinking it. Life is actually quite simple. Focus on what you like. And spend time with the people that you like, and who you love will show themselves within certain moments. You'll figure that out. Stop trying to create the perfect moment. Stop trying to find the perfect person. Stop feeding dating apps with your algorithm and your specific likes and dislikes and what you don't want and what you do want. Just live your life. And actually, don't listen to me as well. If you do want to spend all your time on dating apps, spend all your time on dating apps, because that's what you do like. And, you know, when you do find the one, you will find the one.
Mm.
You know, I think that, you know, too often we take advice from people who we think know more than us, people who we think are more experienced because they are our parents or because they have inherited things that we haven't. I think at the end of the day, you've got one life. So you choose what your rules are as long as you're happy with it. You know, and I think that would be my one parting thing to people who are looking for something more but are struggling to find it.
What about the fear of loneliness? Someone who hasn't found it. Well, but what about, yes. I mean, we both are single right now, but there's it doesn't necessarily mean that we're both single out of choice. No, I think we both understand the value of peace. Some people choose to be single because actually there's a lot of peace in that. So I can travel the world because actually my partner doesn't want to travel the world. I can see my friends and family who I love dearly because maybe my partner can't quite get to grips with being in that environment. Or I can focus on work. And actually my partner doesn't want me to focus on work. She wants me to focus on her or him.
So Tom Brady is like, look, I got 7-8 rings in the bag. I need to go for one more. And it's like, Giselle, give me that ultimatum.
And this is it. I'm actually a firm believer of if what will be, will be. And sometimes I think that can be viewed as a really relaxed statement. But I'm a firm believer that what will be in the sense that if we are supposed to get back together and there is an ultimatum right now around me maybe working in the Dubai or working in Australia or abroad or us being apart for a length of time because of a work commitment, and obviously circumstantial. If there's a kid on the way, certainly I'm gonna prioritize and be there. But if it's purely circumstantial, and it's a certain period of time where, from a work perspective, or there's a family emergency, or there's something in there that requires a slight moment of me being selfish within that moment, I would hope that my partner would also be there. And if not, I have to make a decision on what's best for me, because I also think that as much as I'm in my 20s or late 20s and I haven't got the successful relationship that I would have dreamed of when I was younger, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about that on the basis that I'm still focused on the best part of what makes me happy. The things that make me tick. Because even when I'm in relationships, sometimes that gets lost. And that's one of the huge advantages that I think that some people that I speak to, my age mates around me, in their 20s as well, who are worried about either being single, they're not quite there yet in their job, but then they're still worried about relationships because they want a family. I try and tell them not to worry, because ultimately, if it doesn't work, don't try and fit a square peg into a triangular peg. Like, it just doesn't. It's not going to fulfill you. It's not going to make you happy. In the same way, a job that you're not passionate about isn't going to make you happy. A woman or man that you're not passionate about that isn't going to make you happy is not the person that's going to be your forever. So make sure that you are tentative with who it is that you want to partner with, who it is that you want to, you know, carry on a new generation with. And don't put pressure on that moment, because that union, that bond, I think is so precious, it's so important. And I've only seen that through my own experiences of feeling like I was close to being married, feeling like even though I haven't engaged to this person, I felt like I was there, but something obviously for one reason or another didn't quite click and it wasn't the right person. And actually, I don't feel disappointed by that. I feel like there's a brighter horizon. Like there's a moment in there that actually has taught me that although I'm near 30, there is still time. Thank God there isn't financial pressures. Not that I think that makes too much of a difference. Sadly, in this world, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. People don't care. sometimes people do care too much. Health is good. All these fundamental parts is kind of what makes being single a lot more exciting, rather than the stereotypical thing of, oh my God, you know, you're at this point of your age and you're still single. What's wrong with you? Trust me, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm the most comfortable I've ever been in myself than ever before. I've learned so much more that actually it's more precious to me right now to have my own space with my family, with my people, with my circle, being focused on what I'm doing, as opposed to, I need to rush into getting married. I need to rush into having children. I need to rush into having a family because my mum's saying that she wants a grandson or a granddaughter. Or my auntie's saying the same thing. Or my brother wants to be an uncle. Do you want to be an uncle?
It'll be nice. Yeah. It's not something that I'm dreaming about, I'll tell you that. But it would be nice. And I think you shared a lot of gems there. You know, it's very important to appreciate your own values before you go out hunting for the one. And whether you should be hunting for the one or not, that's debatable. I'm a firm believer of things will happen when they're supposed to happen. So, you know, you
agreed.
Probably shouldn't force it.
Yeah.
Today's been a very interesting and insightful conversation on what life is like dating in the modern age. We still left a lot of stones unturned, which I think we can come back to on another episode, which is great.
Yeah. And one of the things I want to say, and I actually want to end on this, is the mental health aspect as well. Like, one of the things we talk about, I think, throughout all of our episodes has always had a mental health element to it. And I think the mental capacity to be in a relationship, it takes a lot to split your time sometimes with someone. And I've always felt like that feeling should feel minuscule. Like, you shouldn't feel the effort of wanting to do something for your partner. It should, from the outset looking in, people will be like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. But to you, it was minor because you love that person. But if there's too much pressure to want to do that for a person, like, this is a chore now. I'm doing this just to keep this person happy. That's not right. And I think the mental health aspect of things, I think a lot of people, the more clued up, and I hope that continues, I hope that grows, but a lot of people are more clued up to their own mental sanity and what they want to take and what they're not willing to take. And I think it's so beautiful when you have a partner that realizes when you're either on the edge, you're on ice, work has been tough, maybe a family conversation has been too much, maybe your financial pressures are getting too much, or maybe you need to celebrate something to the fullest, either with a partner or with a friend, and your partner realizes that and recognizes that and is completely there for you. Don't get me wrong, I don't think it's always going to be sunshine and roses, but for those pivotal moments, there is understanding. Maybe that's what you're looking for. And your mental health requires that. And if you don't have that person around you, it's going to be a detriment to you as an individual. And maybe that's the reason why you're still single. And people underestimate that. And they take it as, oh, this person's got a problem because they are X age and is still single, maybe that's an issue. No, they haven't found that person that actually benefits them from a mental point of view, from a financial point of view, from a physical aspect, everything in between. So don't worry. That's my message to you guys at home. If you're still single and, you know, you're getting pressures left, right, and center from family, friends, maybe job, I don't know where you're getting the pressure from. I know sometimes, have you felt the pressure?
I feel the pressure all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah. I feel the pressure all the time, but it's okay. We're good with pressure.
We're good with pressure.
We're good. Pressure is good. It makes you feel uncomfortable. It tells you something needs to be done. Takes you out of that state of relaxation and it gets you moving. You know, and we don't need to be complacent. I live and thrive under pressure. I love it.
Yes,
I love this game.
Yeah, but you do though. You do. I really do. And I actually second that. I do think and giving you your flowers for that, because I think in moments where you need to compartmentalize something or you need to strip it back, take a breather, piece everything together and come back again and grow, be stronger. You do that very well. And I hope that you people at home, everyone at home listening to this, thank you very much again for tuning in. But I hope you've taken some gems out of today, because I know that not everybody is in relationships. Not everybody is in happy relationships. Some of you at home are single, like I said earlier on, and there's so many moments within this conversation that we've had. We haven't talked about everything because there's so many things to do with relationships. But let us know some of the things that you would have liked to have listened to and for us to have talked about. Don't forget to comment, like, subscribe, and tune in again next week. Thank you for joining us.